You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is good, everybody? Welcome one and all to TGI Football here on the SB Nation NFL show presented by DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Check out what DraftKings has to offer this season with code SBNFL because life's more fun when you're in on the action. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void or prohibited? See DraftKings.com for details. As noted, this is TGI Football on the SB Nation NFL show. That means it is Friday. We are your captain speaking. My name is RJ Ochoa from Blog of the Boys. His name is Brandon Lee Gotten from Bleeding Green Nation. And his name is Steven Serta from Arrowhead Pride. Steven, happy weekend to you.
Happy weekend. Trying to think of something like witty to say or some recommendation or something, but I honestly have nothing. It's been a long morning.
You're a big recommendation guy. You've recommended a lot of things for me to watch. Brandon, one of the things Steven urged me to watch that I'm going to this weekend with my wife is the Barbie movie. I'm very excited. I haven't seen it. Obviously, it drew a lot of positive reviews. Do you have any kind of recommendation that you would like to offer us? Could be food, could be wine, could be just general life advice.
Me? You want one from me, you're saying?
That's what, I mean, when I said Brandon, do you have? I mean, that was kind of the...
I was double-checking. But you mentioned how good of a recommendation person Steven is, and I wasn't sure.
Right, to set you up. The whole thing was part of the setup, you know.
I started watching the Super Mario movie on Disney+, so I'm excited to finish that. I'm not all the way through.
Barbie is awesome. If you feel like going to a movie theater this weekend, I think you should go see Godzilla Minus One, because it's incredible.
I like the Godzilla movies, but I know this is a different one in terms of, like, it's not part of the Monsterverse.
No, it's an actual Japanese Godzilla movie, right. But it was only supposed to stay in theaters for a week, and they keep extending it because it's doing so well. I've seen it twice now, and it is amazing.
Well, and Godzilla's like a bad guy too, like, right? Like in the Monsterverse ones, he's kind of like an anti-hero or hero.
They definitely make you fear Godzilla in this one.
Nice.
We will be starting a movie podcast soon enough, apparently, because we obviously have enough, maybe just general pop culture, because I think we have enough material. So be on the lookout for that. This one, though, is TGI Football, where we are here to discuss, analyze, assess, postmortem, if you will. Thursday night's game, Thursday night football, definitely requires a postmortem. We will, of course, preview all of the Sunday action to come in week 15. It is moving faster and faster and faster. We will also obviously do our pick three segment, which is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. But first up, Steven, we dive down into the AFC West, where some frauds came up with a mixtape to copy the NFC East because they love us so much. The Los Angeles Chargers scored 21 points, which they may hang their hat on. But they allowed 63 to the Las Vegas Raiders. Your thoughts on the little brothers of the AFC West kind of just, you know, messing with one another while nobody cared.
What is it about scoring 0 points the week before and then playing on Thursday night football and just going insane? I mean, I guess the Patriots only put up 21 points, but that's kind of an insane offensive performance for the Patriots this season. Just a weird game and a crazy game, but it was fun to watch because the blowout was so impressive. Like, they're up 42-0 at halftime. Just complete and utter domination. Like, Easton Stick, we've talked about this season, all these backup quarterbacks that are going to make money and, like, ensure that they wind up playing several seasons in the NFL based off of the performances that they've put together. Easton Stick, a guy that's been in the league a few years now, but this was his first start, and just I don't know if I've ever seen such a catastrophic performance from a team. Like it was unreal to watch. It was exciting for the Raiders if you're a Raiders fan. Like I think that Antonio Pierce is probably locked up that head coaching job. Like I would be really shocked if he isn't their head coach next season because of what he's done. And their defense has been playing impressively. Aiden O'Connell is still a work in progress, but had a really impressive game last night. Like some of that feels like the Chargers have just mailed it in now because Herbert's done for the year and their season's totally lost. They're going to fire their head coach. Like just a total disaster of a performance. And like the post game press conference for Brandon Staley, where I don't know what reporter it was, but like, do you think that you deserve to be the head coach? Like, and he's just like, yes. Like, what's he supposed to say in that situation? That's so brutal. Like, that's such a brutal question to ask him in that moment where he just got absolutely decimated from start to finish. Just unreal, unreal, devastating loss for the Chargers.
Also, the halftime interview going into halftime when he's down 42-0, it's like, what could you even say? Like, how could you even talk? What words are there to? It was really embarrassing and a bad look. And I'll get to the Chargers part in a bit, but I do want to say for the Raiders on their side, I think that's a good point by Steven in terms of Antonio Pierce, especially after not going with Bisaccia, right? Like, don't you have to kind of like, because there is like a feeling of, oh, we messed that up. Even not to say that Bisaccia would have been some great head coach, but you didn't lean into that. And there were some good vibes there. You went with Josh McDaniels and went extremely south. Like maybe why not just ride it out with Antonio Pierce here? There are some good vibes. Also, look, one team wins the Super Bowl each season, so everyone's going to be disappointed, probably a lot of people, at least at the end. And the Raiders aren't actually contending, but this seems like a fun game. Seems like the crowd was really into just kicking the crap out of a team that's in their division, a division rival, if you will. Might not be lasting joy, but there's fun in just like having a big performance like this. So I guess good on the Raiders for that. But the real story, of course, is the end. I mean, we're recording this at 11:27 Eastern on Friday. Like, how is Brandon Staley not fired yet? It's pretty crazy that we've gotten to this point and he's still around. I mean, that's just quit. You can't go down 0-42. That's not just like bad coaching or whatever. Like that's a team quitting.
They were also down 49-0. I mean, you know what I mean? The halftime score was 42-0. I actually jumped in the shower when it was 35-0 at half, because I was like, oh, okay, like I can take a shower like halftime. And then I got out of the shower. It's like it got to 42 before halftime. Like that was pretty crazy. But quickly on the Raiders thing, just to kind of add to both of y'all's thoughts, I think a lot of times we hold on to history with teams too much, but there's something cool to the Raiders. Like when Antonio Pierce is like, yeah, we want to keep our foot on the gas. Like if any other head coach had said that in that spot, I would have rolled my eyes. But like, for some reason I allow the characterness of the Raider way to kind of wash over me. And like Max Crosby after the game, like shirtless, smoking a cigar. Like, again, it's a little bit cooler for the Raiders than it is anybody else. So good for them and good for their fans enjoying a night. But yeah, I mean, I think the only way Brandon Staley is still employed right now is like mercy, right? Like what's the point? Like, you know, like you're going to have Kellen Moore be head coach for 3 more weeks with Easton Stick at quarterback. And like, I don't know if this was sarcasm, Steven. I don't know if you know, your sarcasm meter was able to detect it better than I was, but when it was, I think 49-7, Austin Eckler signaled for a first down, like powerfully, you know what I mean? Like, and Austin Eckler's taken a little bit of heat for being a friend of, by the way, the SB Nation NFL show, Austin Eckler. The interview last week with Stats was great. But, like, I don't know if that's, like, trying to be silly and trying to just, like, enjoy or make fun of yourself because of how bad the game is, or if that's really serious, like, flexing. That, like, there's a lot that's wrong with the Chargers. And I don't mean Austin Eckler is, like, a problem with them, but, like, they have to figure out a lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's just maybe like a lighthearted thing and just an absolutely awful scenario for Austin Eckler. And also really frustrating season for him. Like he has had a down year compared to what you expect from him. He's been banged up, but last night they were really leaning into Isaiah Spiller and Joshua Kelly even before it got out of hand, and it got out of hand quick. But they started that game with like this running back by committee, and it's like, Eckler's probably sitting there saying, like, Keenan Allen's not even playing tonight. Like, I'm the best offensive player on the field. Like, what is going on? So I don't blame him for that. Just an absolute disaster situation. And the Chargers are about to go through a complete and total rebuild. Like, they are way over the cap next season. They got a bunch of expensive contracts to aging veterans that you don't want on a team that you're trying to build around your young quarterback. They totally wasted the rookie quarterback window with Justin Herbert. Like, it's going to be here in a couple of years. If the Chargers turn this thing around and Justin Herbert, you know, ascends to this elite caliber quarterback that we all believe he is, like, we're going to look back on that and be like, man, like, what an insane way to waste the first part of that guy's career, because they have to tear it all down this offseason.
BLG, let's just, for the purposes of this conversation, say that Ben Johnson is like the name, right? Like, he's the guy who gets to pick, you know, first of all the people who are going to be involved in head coach interviews this offseason. And say the Bills job is available. So you're Ben Johnson. Would you rather have Buffalo's gig or the Chargers gig? Because I think we've all said, like, oh, the Chargers gig is going to be the, like, most desirable because of Justin Herbert. But, like, to Steven's point, it might be weighed down by, like, all the other crap. And you might, if you have a quarterback option elsewhere, certainly to Josh Allen's, you know, qualities, that might be more, you know, interesting on the surface.
Yeah, I think there's other factors there that don't make it a no-brainer, even if you like Herbert a lot and say he's, like, the best, you know, if you like him as much as RJ does and can't criticize him at all. I think, you know, just because you're, like, you're the secondary team in that market, and there's questions about, you know, the owner and the functionality there, and it's just kind of like, you know, a joke of a fan base in terms of you don't really have, like, a real home field advantage. There's, like, a lot of stuff there that's unserious for the Chargers, which is not entirely, you know, it's not just the fans' fault. It's, you know, how things went in terms of relocating the team. But yeah, I was just going to ask both of you. I was like, who is their head coach next year? Because I don't think Ben Johnson goes there. Does Bill Belichick go there? Like,
that's
I don't know.
Scenario. You know, I would feel so bad for Herbert. Like, I think Belichick could still be a decent head coach, but he's got no business being in charge of the personnel, and I think that's what he's going to want.
They have to hire an offensive guy too, right? Like, they have to. Like, they can't. You can't do another defensive coach.
I think that it might, like, all the defaults might lend to Kellen Moore's advantage, because what is the stat at this point that Justin Herbert's had, like, 7 offensive coordinators in his last, like, 8 years of football? And so, like, you know, you almost have to in some ways keep Kellen Moore around so that the drop off isn't, you know, so dramatic in terms of him having to learn an entirely new offense. Although, to the general point, if Eckler's gone, if Mike Williams is gone, if Keenan Allen's gone, you know what I mean? Like, if there is this reset, like, you know, you've kind of got to reset anyway, but but yeah, I mean, so we agree, like, the Bills job would be more desirable to some degree. Steven, if you're Ben Johnson, again, in this hypothetical, and Mike Tomlin's gone, would you rather be the Steelers head coach with, like, the football culture and prowess, you know what I mean, and seemingly, like, ownership backing and things like that?
Or yeah, coach just job Herbert? Security, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
if I go in there knowing that, like, I can move on from Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, that's baked into this, baby. You're good.
Okay. Then, yeah, I would probably rather have that job. Like, for the Chargers, it's still a really enticing job, especially if they tear it all down and fire their general manager and just say, we got to commit to this whole thing. But I'm still not totally sold that the Chargers think they're there yet. Like, they might still think that, well, if we get a new staff in here, we can kind of retool the roster and try to put this thing together. Like, no, this thing needs to be totally rebuilt from the ground up. Like, you have failed your franchise quarterback, and it is time for you to get a new regime in there and totally retool this entire organization. Like, it's that bad. Like, and it's just so frustrating for a player the caliber of Justin Herbert, because you wasted so many years with that offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi, who everybody knew was terrible. And then you give Brandon Staley this one more year for whatever reason. Like, why
coming
didn't
off the playoff, like, blowout, or, you know?
Yeah. Like, all the signs were there that was a bad decision. And so you just have this totally wasted year that everybody's going to remember all of the injuries. And now this blowout loss to the Raiders on Thursday Night Football in week 15 is going to be all anyone remembers from this season about the Los Angeles Chargers. Like, it's, I agree that, I agree that the Bills job is probably more desirable, but if I were Ben Johnson and they say like, yeah, we're scrapping everything. You're in charge of this. We're going to bring in a new general manager. We're going to try to get this thing right. Like, we saw how fast the Texans turned things around. And, you know, some of that CJ Stroud's been incredible, but you can do it if you have smart people making the decisions. And I don't think that they have smart people making the decisions right now.
Last thing on the Chargers, because we have no buys and a lot of games to get to. BLG, I asked Mark and JP this on a recent episode of Monday Football Monday. If you're a Chargers fan, and I think a lot of people were probably upset that they brought Staley back after the playoff collapse last year, and that obviously looks even worse in hindsight. But do you not – and we had all talked about like that night, like, oh, this is Sean Payton's job, right? Like, again, you know, almost a year ago. If you're a Chargers fan, like, and the three of us have all said what we have about Sean Payton, but like, how can you not feel like that? You would rather live in that reality. You know what I mean? Especially based on, he's proving to be, you know, I don't want to give Sean all the flowers, but we have to give him some flowers for what he's done with Denver this year. Like, you know, like you have to wish that, like, and that's a sunk fallacy cost that the Chargers married themselves to.
Again, I don't know if they could have gotten him. You know what I mean? I don't know that they have the pool. I like with Ben Johnson, I just think, you know, the Panthers have an owner who's willing to spend a ton of money specifically on coaching staffs. That's what he did with Frank Reich's staff. And then obviously eat the money when he wasn't happy with what happened. I just like, I don't even know if the Chargers like have that kind of willingness to spend or the, you know, they just don't have
the moxie, the gumption.
Well, the credibility, like they're just, again, an unserious, they're viewed as an unserious franchise. And I think it's going to be hard for them to land like that big fish as much as they just have to, not even because it's good for continuity, but because they can't get anyone else to hire or promote Kellen Moore or go after some kind of lesser known candidate. And that can work out. You know, there's been hires that haven't been high profile hires that have worked out, but it's not a good feeling in the moment.
It's amazing that the Raiders scored 63 points and had all these good vibes and that the Chargers were so bad that like that dominated the entire conversation. So kudos to them, I suppose. Pick me!
1, 2, 3.
Pick one.
On three.
Pick three, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
All right, it is time for our Pick 3 segment, which is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gentlemen, like Cersei in Game of Thrones, I have my bell, and I'm here to ring shame. I peed into the wind. Steven said, these anytime touchdown props, they're not a good idea. And I leaned on one last week with Brandon Ayuk, and I failed us. We did not hit the same game parlay specifically because of me. This week, we are heading to Orchard Park for the Dallas Cowboys visiting the Buffalo Bills. Steven, you hit last week, but you are still not our leader this year. Brandon, you stand alone with an 8-6 record on same game parlay picks. What are you doing this week and why?
I thought you said Steven.
Brandon, you are our leader in same game parlay picks.
Yeah, but you also said Steven's name in there.
Again,
but when he said you were the leader of the standings, I took it as like that's a toss to you.
I mean,
all right. You keep mentioning Steven, dude, I'm
this point guard with these insane handles, and then like I dish it out to you, and you're just like standing there, and the ball hits the crowd.
In both of these throws to me, you have said Steven's name. Dude, which
you're
is
not
like...
playing team basketball right now. Like, keep your eyes. You're James Harden. That's who you are right now.
Oh no, definitely don't want to be compared to that. I'm actually going to go with a over on a 0.5 Dak Prescott interceptions. He has not had an interception in his last four games, including the win over the Eagles. And I think he's due. It's funny because a lot of Cowboys fans, this is a very personal one because a lot of Cowboys fans found a tweet that I had from earlier in the season that I had cited that Dak said he wasn't going to throw 10 interceptions this year.
That wasn't a real Dak quote. No, that wasn't a real quote. I told you then, and I also quoted your tweet this week. That was a misinterpretation. He said he won't have any tipped interceptions. Again, this was back in the summer, and that was clarified. But NFL aggregators, I don't say that in a super negative way, but NFL aggregators ran with the 10 interceptions line. That never happened. He literally never said that line.
Well, I think he's going to throw an interception this week against the Bills, who are surging. And, so I'm going to take the over on that. I mean, again, he's due, and the Bills, they can make some plays in their secondary. And I think the Cowboys are going to have to throw the ball a lot anyway, and he's going to turn it over. So boom, suck it.
Steven, thank you for listening and paying attention and knowing what is and isn't a real quote. Even though you're in last place in the same game parlay picks, I will be very specific and literal. What is your leg for this week's same game parlay?
I chose Tony Pollard over 60 plus alternate rushing yards. That's where you can really find success against this Bills defense. You know, their secondary has been up and down, but it has stabilized a little bit since they traded for Rasul Douglas. So I don't think, you know, the Cowboys are still going to be able to pass and do what they want for the most part in this game. But their run defense is not good in Buffalo. And we've seen a lot of running backs have success against them this year. So I just feel like it's a safe bet that Tony Pollard, even though he's not having like the best year of his career or anything, I feel like he's safe to get 60 plus rushing yards against this Bills defense.
I think that's a really good leg, Steven. The Cowboys have wanted to kind of work on their run game, obviously in preparation for the playoffs. I could totally see Tony Pollard getting fed enough opportunities at the very least to deliver on that. And again, yours wasn't born out of a lie, which Brandon's was. So, you know, in that sense, it also stands on its own as well. I'm taking a prop that I don't think any of us have taken this year. I'm taking the Buffalo Bills to lose a fumble, and we'll obviously preview and discuss the game in a little bit. But Josh Allen is a chaotic runner, obviously, and the Cowboys forced three fumbles last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, and not just, you know, three fumbles, but against three incredible players. So I could totally see the Cowboys poking one out, or maybe even it's just like a miss handoff situation. I like these odds. Again, all I got to do is get one fumble. So I will certainly take that. That is at plus 140, the longest odds of any of our props. Brandon, what is our cumulative same game parlay? Or Steven, do you have it?
It's plus 600.
Yeah. Plus 600. So what does that mean, Brandon?
It means if you put down $10, you would profit $60.
Okay. What would you buy with $60?
A hot dog.
Okay. All right. Well done. Respect. That is our same game parlay, our pick three segment brought to you by our friends at DraftKings.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, the time has come to discuss all of the Week 15 Saturday and Sunday games. There are no buys, which means we are going to need to use our zaps. If you are unfamiliar with that, we each have the right to zap somebody else on a team who they do not cover. And if you get zapped, you do not get to offer any real input on the game. You just tell us who you are picking. No real why associated with that. We will also each acknowledge our lock of the week. We will lock up one team relative to the spread. Brandon, you are 10-3-1 after successfully locking up the Dallas Cowboys last week, but you're a mere peasant compared to Steven, who is 12-2 in the locks competition this week. I am a measly 5-9. I say measly. I have a friend whose last name is Measles. I've always thought that would have been a difficult thing to overcome in life. Yeah. When he and his now wife got engaged at their engagement party, people were calling her Mrs. Chickenpox. I thought that was really clever.
Did he ever get the measles?
I don't know. He's a pretty healthy guy. I would imagine that he probably had it at one point, but love you, Josh. Anyway, let's move on start. You don't know his full legal name. You know what I mean? Maybe Josh is a pet name. Saturday, we start with our Saturday games, obviously. The Minnesota Vikings will be visiting the Cincinnati Bengals, who are 3-point standard straight up home field favorites. BLG, your thoughts on the Bengali Tigers?
You said no buys this week, and that is true. No buys left until the first round playoff bye.
Also, by the way, this moved to 3.5. Thank you, Steven.
Oh, wow. Okay. when there's three teams on a bye, it'd be a bye, be the in sync week. But we are not an in sync week because
I don't think
no
they
buys.
Ever do. You couldn't do three teams
anyway.
Do you understand how like the idea anyway, of games work?
Anyway, I made this my lock of the week. I guess I have to take it 3.5 now. Jake Browning kind of play a little bit. And the Vikings are starting Nick Mullins, who I watched once upon a time in Eagles training camp, and he looked pretty – well, he actually looked decent in practice, and then he looked awful in the preseason games. So, yeah, I think this is a big quarterback disparity here, and Bengals have some fight to them. I mean, Jake Browning's part of that, obviously him playing well, but the team seems not ready to just give up on the season, even though Joe Burrow isn't there. And by the way, the Jake Browning success kind of makes it a little bit like regrettable, I think, for the Bengals that they were so insistent on playing Joe Burrow, you know, earlier in the year when like he clearly was hurt. Like it might have been good to let him rest a little bit and give him some time to get a little bit, you know, fully healthy. Now, obviously, it's easier to say in hindsight, but you know, that is the disadvantage sometimes of, you know, having a player play through injury like that. And had they done that, they're probably, you know, better than 7-6 right now. They might be just one win better, but still, that would be pretty helpful as they're fighting for one of these wild card spots in the AFC. But in any case, Vikings are in, you know, a nice cute little moment there with Josh Dobbs, but now he's down to the third string quarterback and Nick Mullins isn't any good and Jake Browning's better. So give me the Bengals as my lock of the week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cincinnati here. And yeah, Jake Browning has been really impressive over the last couple of weeks. Credit to Zach Taylor and that coaching staff, like really leaning into what he can do. It would be nice to see them make those kinds of adjustments all the time. I don't know why it took like a desperation kind of thing for them to actually adjust their offense a little bit, but the Bengals are on a streak right now and the Vikings are just playing really bad. And Josh Dobbs was fun for a few weeks and now it's kind of been a disaster. And this is just, I don't really know why they decided to make it public that like, oh yeah, he's been so bad that he's the third string quarterback now. Jaren Hall is going to back up Nick Mullins. Like that's a team that is just desperate to try to keep something positive in this season. And Justin Jefferson says he's going to play this week, which at this point in the season and the way his year is gone, I don't even think that they should play him, honestly, because he's the most important player that you have on your team, probably. But it sounds like he's going to be available. So if Justin Jefferson can actually make it through this game, like it's a decent opportunity. Cincinnati's secondary hasn't been particularly good this season, but I just think the Bengals are hot right now. And the Vikings defense, I think we'll give Jake Browning some issues, though. That Brian Flores defense has been playing really, really well. So it's interesting, and I wouldn't be shocked if Jake Browning winds up having kind of a bad game just against that blitz-heavy attack. But I still think at the end of the day, the Bengals are just a better coach team right now, and they're playing better. So I'll go with Cincinnati.
I think everything you both said is really strong and wise. I'm very proud to work with both of you. So, yeah. but I agree with you, Steven, especially – like a week and a half after the Jets were so, or 2 weeks or whatever, after they were so like publicly like, oh, Zach Wilson is third string. Like he's not even going to be inactive. And then they had to go like crawling back to him. Like, why would you ever do this? Like, you know, to anyone, like it's so stupid. It's peeing into the wind, truly. And again, like, I mean, no disrespect to Nick Mullins, but like, you might as well just play Jaren Hall at this point. You know what I mean? Like it's especially if Justin Jefferson is going to play, because I mean, I think we're kind of back on Justin Jefferson watch, right? Like potentially want out of Minnesota in the off season. I know that the last 6 weeks or whatever, maybe kind of rekindled some love or whatever. I really love the Vikings and I would love to pick them and love to believe, but I just can't. I mean, I really am so impressed by the Bengals. Like I said it before, if there is a true Goonies, never say die squad in the NFL, it is Zach Taylor, Cincinnati Bengals. They have become so amazing under him. And it's kind of cool to watch them be that way without Joe Burrow. Yeah, I mean, I would rather watch Joe Burrow, but like, I mean, it's really, really impressive. So I'm going to take the Bengals. That's a really good lock, BLG, even though you had to move up a point. So kudos. Good job. Next up on Saturday, the Pittsburgh Steelers are visiting the Indianapolis Colts. I believe, yes, this line is still Indianapolis, favored by 1.5 at home. I think the Colts are kind of, or were kind of, the Vikings of the AFC, where we kind of let ourselves get roped into it a few weeks in a row. They had, you know, some cute moments. Now, I'm not super down on the Colts. I think they could still be a playoff team potentially. I don't think losing to the Bengals, who we just threw flowers at, is a super embarrassing thing. But I do think that we're overreacting a little bit to the Steelers and last week's loss against New England. I'm not big on the Steelers. Don't get me wrong. But like, we're acting like they're trash and they're garbage. They've had a week and a half. And if anybody has earned our trust to kind of pick things back up with a week and a half to rest and prepare for not necessarily super talented quarterback in Gardner Minshew, it's Mike Tomlin. So I'm going to lock up the Pittsburgh Steelers because I'm getting points. So that's where I'm going. Steven, what do you have to say about that?
I don't think we're overreacting to the Steelers losing.
You're done talking.
They also lost to the Cardinals the week before.
That's not important. All right. So they've had to sit on this for even longer. All right. This is brewing.
I don't know. Every time I want to believe in the Steelers, and like, I want to make it clear, like, I've never at any point this season, even after the 400 yard, 16 point performance that they put up after they fired Matt Canada, like, I was never in on them on offense and Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky or whatever, but the defense was winning them games early in the season, and the defense isn't doing that now. And then they had the weird concussion stuff with TJ Watt this week, where it seemed like he clearly had a concussion in that game against the Patriots and they put him back in anyways. And I don't really like the vibes around the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. And yeah, the Colts are coming off of a tough loss and they're up and down and they got Gardner Minshew, but I kind of like their coaching staff more right now and really what they put together defensively. So I'm going to go with the Colts in this one. I just don't have a lot of faith in the Steelers right now.
I'm actually with RJ on this one in that I'm comparing here the Steelers to Tobias Harris, a Sixers player, for those unfamiliar, where when Tobias plays bad, it's like, well, this is frustrating, but you know he's going to normalize and play better. But also, it works the other way. When he's playing well, it's like, well, you know this isn't going to last. He's going to come back down. So there's just something stabilizing like that with the Steelers, where for as much as they struggled recently, it just doesn't feel very Steelers-ish for them to continue to struggle here. And conversely, had they, you know, won a couple games, so it's like, well, they're not going to continue to stay this hot. I think there's just kind of a really regress to the middle kind of team. And important game. The Steelers are 6 currently in the AFC playoff picture with the Colts right under them at 7. And I guess I just trust the Steelers more in this situation to know, like, this is a really important game and they need this to make sure they're still in the wild card picture here and have that tiebreaker over the Colts, which would be really big. So I just think they've kind of been there before a little bit more than this Colts team has. And I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, especially if I'm getting a point and a half.
Steven, put your jacket on.
Fun fact about the icebox.
Winter is coming.
Burr! I'm in the icebox. You know, at the end of time, if we've ever accomplished anything, it's that we created the icebox together. So, good for us. Saturday night, the Denver Broncos, Steven, are visiting the Detroit Lions. The Lions, I don't know that they've been humbled, because I don't know that anybody really cares. Like, I think the Lions are that team that people enjoy when they're good and kind of, you know, put the toy away somewhere else whenever they're disappointing them, like they have been a little bit as of late. I know they obviously bounced back last week, but still, I mean, I'm not in as well. I'm picking the Lions here, but the Broncos are kind of cute in their own right.
Yeah, this is actually a tough game for me to pick, because Denver, the biggest thing that's changed for them is they've been on this win streak, is their defense is playing really well. Like, it is nowhere near that team that gave up 70 points to the Dolphins. Like, they've been legitimately good over this winning streak. And Detroit, like, all of the red flags that I had about them all season long on the defensive side of the ball, like, that's what's been holding them back recently. Like, they don't generate a lot of pressure up front because they don't have a particularly talented defensive line outside of Aiden Hutchinson, and their secondary is not very good. And then when Jared Goff doesn't play well, the offense doesn't look good. And credit to the Bears, because the Bears defense is kind of flying under the radar right now, but they've been playing really well, and they totally shut down this high-powered Lions offense last week. And I think that's kind of been more of a theme than we want it to be with the Lions recently, where Jared Goff seems to really be struggling as these defenses are really clamping down on the Lions offense. But it is at home. Traditionally, Goff is better at home in the dome than he is on the road, outside in the weather, in the elements, and all of that stuff. So I think I'm going to go with the Lions here, but I think it's a really close game. So I'll take the Lions, but I think Denver I'll take Denver with the points though.
Yeah, I'm also taking the points. I'll take the Lions to win, but I think the Broncos can make it close. I think it'll be a very close game at the end, a thriller, if you will. I think Russ is going to have success against that secondary, which anyone is having success against right now. And ultimately, I think the Lions pull it out at home. I can't give the Broncos the benefit of the doubt in that regard to go out and get the win in this spot. But I don't think the Lions deserve the benefit of the doubt to cover. So that's why I take the 4.5.
I do think this is a potential like fantasy playoff sinking ship game. Like if you've got Amon-Ra St. Brown or Jahmyr Gibbs or something like that, or maybe you're starting Jared Goff, like I could see this being like the game that sinks you. I don't know. Steven, you have Amon-Ra, right?
Yes, but I did not make the playoffs with that team.
Wow.
I have Sam LaPorta in a couple of leagues that are still alive. So,
Well, we'll see. Okay, let's move on to Sunday. Steven, the Kansas City Chiefs are headed to Foxborough, and they are now 8-point favorites. The three of us haven't spoken together since the Chiefs whined and complained and made themselves the current villains of the NFL. So your overall thoughts on what has been, I guess, maybe the darkest week in that sense in the Patrick Mahomes era for the Chiefs. And also your thoughts on Travis Kelce prioritizing practicing for this game ahead of attending his girlfriend's 34th birthday party.
I'm sure Kelce will spend plenty of time with Taylor Swift in the off season. The NFL schedule and things are bad right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. So shout out Travis Kelce for prioritizing the business and the job ahead of the relationship. But no, it's been really hard to get up for this game, to be totally honest. I know the Patriots are coming off the big win over the Steelers, and the conversations, like I think I've probably done less breakdown this week than I have of any Chiefs opponent all season long, because all we've been talking about is the blow up at the podium and Mahomes like being emotional for the first time ever in his career because things are just trending in the wrong direction and they're just not working no matter what he tries to do. And it just seems like that's going to wind up making them fall short this season. At the end of the day, I don't think that Bailey Zappe is going to be able to do anything against the Chiefs defense. So I think the Chiefs are going to win. It's my lock of the week. I think they will cover and bounce back and look a little bit better. But I think we just have to adjust our expectations for this team moving forward, if you haven't already, because this isn't a team that's going to go out here and drop 35 points in New England. Like if they get to 21 these days, I'm like, yes, that's enough. 21 points, your defense will do enough, especially against Bailey Zappe. So I think the Chiefs win pretty easily in this game. Overall, not a great week. Not feeling super confident about the Chiefs right now.
I guess, sorry, Brandon, quickly, what was your take, Steven, just for the NFL show audience to hear on blow up? I mean, because it feels like there's been a split reaction among Chiefs media members and fans. Like, I feel like maybe 70% are in agreement with the original point, whereas 30% are like, okay, this is embarrassing. Like, don't be doing this, please.
I think it was kind of a culmination of everything. It was the second week in a row that a penalty critical moment in the game, Mahomes asked about it at the podium. Like, I think he's just really frustrated, and part of him maybe would like to lash out at the teammates that are dragging him down this season, but he won't do that. So instead, he decided to lash out at the referees, which I think is a loser thing to do. I don't think you should do that. And he immediately backtracked and like apologized to Josh Allen. Andy Reid even lashed out at the referees. Like, it's just bad right now. And I think the Chiefs don't have answers on how to fix this. Like, this is a team that has turned the football over in all but two games the entire season this year. Like, it's not getting better. And I think this is the offense, so we can stop trying to project them to like turn things around and all of a sudden they're going to be this Chiefs offense that we're used to. No, this is who they are this season. And I still think in the AFC, they're still going to be competitive and they can still potentially win the AFC, but it's going to be a lot tougher this season because this is just who the Chiefs are.
When Andy Reid had that comment, you know, so having someone being someone who's, you know, seen a lot of Andy Reid press conferences and knowing him pretty well, like that was pretty alarming to me. That's like, okay, the Chiefs are shook. If you're getting to a point where Andy is saying something like critical of the refs, like that's not good. That said, I think the Chiefs are going to kind of channel this anger and use it in a positive way as opposed to letting it break them. And I think they'll beat the Patriots in cover. I will say the funniest thing from the Holmes thing was like impacting Travis Kelce's Hall of Fame legacy, because that played in, it's like, I think Travis Kelce is going to be okay. he was so close to making the Hall of Fame, but just that one play, which, by the way, was obviously very cool, undeniably. And it's something that Travis Kelce talks about a lot on his podcast and elsewhere, like practice, doing laterals in practice and stuff, just having fun like that. I do think he's right. That's like, it's an underutilized play in the NFL. It's a market inefficiency. There should be more laterals. They're fun. It's just tough that it didn't work out in that case, but yeah, give me the Chiefs.
It's for Chiefs fans. All I'll say about the play too is, if we come out of the season that being the thing that everybody points back to and remembers from this year, it's a disaster season for the Chiefs. A play that didn't even count.
I agree that it was seemingly a culmination of things. Like, I don't think that the Bills are a rival to the Chiefs. You can tell me if you disagree, Steven, but like, the fact that it happened against the Bills of all teams, like, was a little annoying, like, you know, and again, like the sequence of events and sequence of games, but obviously kind of some loser energy from Mahomes and Reed that they seemingly have walked it back. If this was a team with like a moderate pulse, I would certainly take the points and I would think about taking them, but like, if there is a true get right opportunity that landed at the perfect moment for the Chiefs, it's this game against the Patriots. I kind of disagree with you. I could totally see like 35 points. Like, again, not saying that everything would be back and fixed, but like, again, if it were going to happen against anyone in this moment, it would be against these Patriots, especially Belichick coming off of all the like week long rumors about Kraft being out on him. Like, they might be in some serious Chargers territory of quit, but
this was the game that got flexed off of Monday Night Football, by the way.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Noon kickoff. Woo!
BLG, the New York Jets are coming off of a win, and Zach Wilson coming off of an AFC Offensive Player of the Week performance after Robert Saleh came groveling back and begged him to play for him. They are headed down to Miami to play the Dolphins, who are now 9.5-point favorites. That line moved 1 point since we initially wrote these down, despite the fact, Brandon, that Tyreek Hill not expected to practice on Friday, which hasn't technically happened in our real time. It seems doubtful that Tyreek Hill is going to play, but that doesn't necessarily seem like it's going to be enough to overwhelm the Dolphins, despite their collapse on Monday Night Football.
I mean, I'm still leaning the Dolphins here. Zach Wilson people are so ready after any kind of like Zach Wilson semi slight heartbeat on the radar performance to be like, well, maybe there is something here. That happened against the Chiefs. Remember earlier this year when he kind of outplayed Mahomes, not in like,
and then Mahomes benefited from a call at the end and had no issues with it whatsoever.
Right. Well, neither did he in the Super Bowl earlier this year. So anyway, I am not trusting the Jets in Zach Wilson yet. So the number worries me, big number and everything, especially if Tyreek's not there, but I'm going to lean Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to take the 9.5. I think Miami still wins this game if Tyreek doesn't play, but we saw last week when he was out of that game, like, he's just so important to how that offense moves the football, and they were really struggling to move it when he was out of the game. Like, he had to come back in limping around the field just to create a couple of big plays for them. Devon Achane, also super questionable. It seems like he's going to practice today, but he hasn't practiced all week, still dealing with that knee injury, I guess. So they also just placed their starting center on injured reserve this week. Like, Miami is getting really banged up, and it's kind of been my fear about them all season long, that I think they lack the physicality of some of these other playoff teams, and it's something that we've seen when they've gone up against these playoff caliber teams. But at the end of the day, I think Miami's defense will still give Zach Wilson enough problems that they're going to win this football game. I just don't know that they can win it by more than 9.5 points without Tyreek Hill on this one.
Yeah, I think this is a big moment for Tua. Right. In terms of narrative, if anybody cares, like, Tua still needs a contract extension. You know what I mean? We kind of forget about that. Like, if there's a team that like is sneakily going to move on from a quarterback in the offseason, could it not be Miami? And so if Tyreek's not there and it's like you can't get it done without Tyreek, it's like, well, what are you? Are you just Tyreek's quarterback? You know, and against the Jets defense, I realize that's a difficult task, but I'm with you both. I think we're all taking the points, but taking the Dolphins. you know, obviously the Cowboys visit Miami next week. I'm very interested to see the Dolphins and like what they do look like, because I agree with you, Steven. They seem to be taking on a little bit of water, but I guess we'll see. Brandon, the Tommy DeVito-led New York Giants are visiting the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. The Saints are favored by 5 points in this game.
That's actually down from what I saw it today.
It was six, yeah.
So that tells you something, baby. I think the Giants won this outright. They've won their last three. I think they have the vibes going in their favor. I think there's an energy. There's a spark there that I think is real. There was some a good article on Big Blue View. Shout out to our friend Ed Valentine, who polled some film guys, including our own Mark Schofield here at the SB Nation NFL show and SBNation.com. Like, is this real? Is any or what level of Tommy DeVito playing well is real? And what a lot of those quote-unquote QB experts had to say was his pocket management is really good, and that's something that can sustain itself. So, I don't think Tommy Cutlets here is the next great thing at quarterback, but I do think there is something to him playing well, and the Saints stink, and I think he can go in there on the road and deliver a fourth straight win for the Giants. I'll take the Giants outright, so I'll especially take them plus five.
Yeah, I'm riding the wave. I'm going with the Giants here. It's just, it's so fun when NFL teams stumble into these things and a player like Tommy DeVito comes out of nowhere and is just playing better than Daniel Jones, who they way overpaid for some reason. And it's just one of the coolest things that we get to witness in the NFL every year. So I am in on the Giants. Their defense has been playing much better. And we see every week, like, I know the Saints are coming off of a win, but that's against the Panthers, like the literal worst team in the NFL. And the vibes around the Saints are terrible. Like, everyone on that team clearly hates Derek Carr. And it's apparent every single week. Chris Olave also has been missing a bunch of practice this week and might not even be available while he's dealing with an ankle injury. Like, I don't like anything the Saints are doing right now, and I love everything that the Giants are doing. So I'm in. I want them to keep this winning streak alive as long as possible.
I do worry that we're maybe too drunk on the Tommy DeVito thing and whatever, but again, I really trust the Saints to not, bite us. So I'm with you both, taking the points, obviously, taking the Giants outright. Clean sweep for the Giants, I think, for the first time on the NFL show this year. I apologize that we have to deviate from predicting games for a moment. I don't know if either of you have seen this. Brandon mentioned the time that we're recording this. In real time, it was just reported by everyone that the Los Angeles Chargers have fired Brandon Staley and Tom Telesco. Wow. So a full...
That's significant.
A full cleaning of house. Head coach out, GM out, Steven. Again, not that this is like shocking and that it happened. I guess the Telesco thing is because he has survived so much turnover and change at the head coaching position and, across the roster. But if you're going to do it, you have to, you have to purge. You have to, reset everywhere. And the the Chargers seem committed to finally doing that.
It's incredible news for Chargers fans. I know there's only a few of them out there, but if you like Justin Herbert and the Chargers, this is incredible news. This is exactly what they needed to do. And it should have happened earlier, to be totally honest. It should have happened before this season even started. The fact that he got another year after that playoff loss is absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a thought, Brandon?
No.
as a fellow Brandon
earlier. I said earlier in the show, how did he still have a job? And turns out he doesn't anymore. And
I was thinking about this on Thursday night. None of us, the three of us at least, follow the Chargers like super closely. But like, what was the like signature moment of the Staley era? Like, what was like the win? You know what I mean? Like, can you think of like, and I'm not saying that this answer doesn't exist, but I couldn't think of it myself.
It was earlier on, because he, remember he originally had like some coach of the year buzz, like early in 2021. I think they beat the Chiefs, right? Did they beat the Chiefs in Kansas City?
Yeah.
Or was that?
Yeah, like in week two or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's early on. He was like analytics guy. Everybody was falling in love with him at the podium because he was aggressive. And then like it failed enough that he totally abandoned it and got scared of it. And that's when you could see it all just nosediving. But for some reason he got like two extra years on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking like in 2021, they beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead in week three. Cool. They beat the Bengals, you know, but that was the Bengals, you know, kind of rise year. You know, we didn't like respect the Bengals the way we do now. I mean, just a really lost time for the Chargers. Like, I just, I don't know. I mean, and I was going to say this last week, but BLG's at me. Like, I think Brandon Staley has lost so much luster that, like, are you, you know, like sometimes when somebody like this is fired, you're like, oh, they'd make a great offensive coordinator, a great defensive coordinator, right? Like, they just weren't cut out for this. Like, do you, like, are you like, oh, man, I hope Brandon Staley is the defensive coordinator for my team. You know what I mean? Like, you can't feel that.
It's like Ben McAdoo. Like, McAdoo, obviously McAdoo, right. I think, eventually did become again, but it took a while. There was, like, a little bit of a just gone from the league.
Yeah. I think he's going to be out of the league, or he's going to pop up on some bad Division I college staff or something like that.
Or I think he might go back to the Rams. That's pretty, I think that's in play. I think McVay could rehire him.
It's crazy to say that like his NFL future is so like, you know, DOA. He's 41 years old. I mean, like he's so young. I mean, you know what I mean? Like it's just, I mean, and maybe he just kind of needs some time to like let all this fade, and it fades fast. But yeah, I mean, he's got to let the heat dissipate, I think, right now. So, but I think I never feel comfortable celebrating people losing their jobs, but you had to reset all the way. So Tom Telesco being fired, like, again, what was the, like, Justin Herbert is awesome, but like, what was the last great Chargers draft pick in general? I mean, like, even, you know, Joey Bosa is great, but like, he has missed so much time. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Like, I know we were all kind of in on Asante Samuel Jr. He's kind of hit or miss. The Derwin James contract has aged kind of poorly. Kenneth Murray hasn't been a great first round pick. Rashawn Slater's dealt with injuries, and that's unfortunate. But like, the construction of the, like, people, and this take has been floating around a little bit more, Stephen, but like, the Chargers are not the like sex appeal team that like Twitter thinks they are. You know, the talent isn't exactly the way we hype it up to be.
Yeah, they've drafted poorly, they've invested poorly in high dollar free agents, and you know, they paid their own guys, I guess, and like Bosa and Mike Williams, but Mike Williams I think is a fine player when he's on the field and healthy. He's just never been healthy. And you know, Keenan Allen is great, but Keenan Allen is old now, and Keenan Allen is at the back end of his career, and they just haven't made good decisions in roster construction. They haven't drafted well. They haven't spent their money well. Like, they in no way capitalized on that rookie quarterback contract window with Justin Herbert. Like, that's you have an opportunity to maximize your potential in those windows, and they did not maximize anything. They just wasted the window altogether. And now this narrative around Justin Herbert is bad because of all of the missteps of the organization.
I do think the Chargers did this right. Like, if you're the team that's on the edge with this and you lose the Thursday night game, that's when you got to fire your head coach. Like, BLG and I have talked about the Commanders not doing that with Ron Rivera earlier this season or after Thanksgiving. Like, you have to take it. Like, I don't believe in Kellen Moore as a head coach right now, certainly, but if it's still unknown who's going to be the interim, but like, you have to get a look. Like, you're literally wasting time if you know you're going to do this and you don't do it as soon as possible. So, I guess we'll see who the interim head coach is. But okay, so apologies to the listeners for kind of having this discussion twice, but it did pop up in the middle of the game. Next up, Brandon, the Chicago Bears are visiting the Cleveland Browns. And the Browns are only 3-point home favorites. Steven mentioned the Bears defense. The Montez Sweat trade kind of looks pretty legit right now for the Bears. I mean, like, the defense is on the rise. It does. I mean, you got to give it. It certainly looks better than the Chase Claypool trade, although I get that that's not difficult to do.
Okay, it's saying nothing.
No, I mean, like, I'm not, like, in on the Bears or back in on the Bears, but, like, they have been mildly impressive. You got to give them that.
I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I'm saying that it's still a lot to give up between the draft capital and the contract for that kind of player. In any case, yeah, I'm still fading the Bears, even though they won. And Joe Flacco, he's cooking. He's out there. But more importantly, that Browns defense, obviously, is just incredibly legit, as it should be under Jim Schwartz. So, yeah, I like the Browns vibes a lot. Give me Cleveland.
I think I'm going to keep riding with the Bears here. I do agree with BLG that I think it's bad process to trade high-end draft picks just to make somebody one of the highest paid players at their position in the NFL. But Montez Sweat has been fantastic since coming to the Bears. I just wish Ryan Poles would stop just throwing away second round draft picks for no reason. But I think the Bears are in a really great spot here because Justin Fields, it seems like he's probably not going to be their quarterback. They're going to have the number one overall pick unless Carolina all of a sudden goes on a run the last month of the season. And so it's actually really interesting here because Justin Fields could try to put together some really strong performances and the Bears aren't going to be hurting themselves. They're still going to have the number one overall pick and likely like another top 10 pick in their own draft pick. So it's a good situation for Fields to try to really showcase himself and say, like, if you want to trade for me, like, I am a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. And going against this Browns defense, which is really good, it's been great all year, but they're really banged up right now. They just put a couple of players on IR this week, and they've been dealing with a lot of injuries that I think has slowed them down a little bit over the last few weeks. And, you know, Flacco has been good, and that's another cool storyline of this NFL season. But I just kind of like where the Bears are at right now with that defense, with the way Justin Fields is playing. So I'm going to go with the Bears here, even in a tough matchup. Mm.
Steven and I have always been simpatico on the Bears and on Justin Fields. I know that you hate him with the fire of a thousand suns, Brandon, but
I hate him. I just don't think he's good.
I last week ahead of week 14 action, I benched CJ Stroud and he unfortunately got hurt in my fantasy league of record. And I went with Justin Fields just because I was really afraid of the Jets matchup. And that worked out really nicely for me. But like the thought born in my mind as Fields was going off, quote unquote, at least from a fantasy sense, was, oh, this is about to happen. Like Justin Fields is about to like return to like fantasy form and give enough people enough reason to hype him up in the offseason. Like he's going to create the chaos because they're going to have the number one overall pick. We are totally destined for the Justin Fields versus Bryce Young conversation that we got last year. It's going to be, we're about to have that again. I mean, I would think it would be silly for the Bears to hold on to Justin Fields, but my point is like, he's about to make it a thing. I'm going to take the Bears too. Brandon, pack your crap and get in the icebox.
Fun fact about the icebox.
Winter is coming.
Burr! I'm in the icebox. Wouldn't it just be the most, like, of course thing, Steven, for Justin Fields to light up the Browns defense and for people to be like, look, the Browns are the best defense in the NFL and Justin Fields tore them apart?
Yeah, but they're really banged up right now, so I don't think I would read that much into it.
Steven, just be cool, man. Just be cool. Brandon, the Atlanta Falcons are visiting the aforementioned worst team in the NFL in the Carolina Panthers. Panthers 3-point home dogs really gross Falcons team.
There's no point in, yeah. It's exactly. Falcons minus 3.
I will also take the Falcons, not because I have any faith in them whatsoever, but because they're just better than the Panthers.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of a group zap. Like, I don't think any of us really want to talk about this game. I'll take the Falcons, although I feel really uncomfortable laying 3 points. But the Panthers, oddly, make me feel a little bit better about that. Okay, Steven, the Buccaneers are at Lambeau Field, where the Packers are coming off of that horrible Tommy DeVito humbling. They are 3.5-point favorites at home, so just barely favored, technically, against the Bucs. Where are you going?
I'm going to go with the Packers in this one because I feel like I put a little too much faith in the Bucs over the last few weeks and they keep letting me down. But also, I think what we saw last week, one, Giants defense has been playing a lot better. That's what's helped them put this streak of wins together. But also the Packers were playing a little bit above their heads, probably. But I think they are a talented team. They're a very young team that is prone to mistakes. And last week, we just saw them make a bunch of mistakes like young football teams do. So they came back down to earth a little bit. But I still like the way that they're moving and the direction that they're going in. And Tampa Bay just traveling on the road in Green Bay. Like, I think you're going to get a better version of the Packers this week. So I'll go with Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Packers here. I agree with what Steven said. I think that wasn't necessarily a loss. That means the Packers are back to being frauds. I think they just ran into a team. Giants team that's been hot and has something going on. They're on the road. They return to home here. They're taking on a Bucks team that's won 2 in a row. The Bucks really about to win 3 in a row in Lambeau. I don't like that as much. I think the Packers win. Maybe the Bucks cover. Maybe it's a 3-point game, but I'm going to side with the Packers and say they cover.
Yeah, I'm with you both. I don't know if I think the Bucks are going to win the NFC South. I can't quite make up my mind. But
well, if not them, who?
I'd rather see them in the playoffs than the Saints.
Or the I would too. I would too. But yeah, it's really, really difficult to imagine taking them in this game. All right. The Houston Texans are visiting the Tennessee Titans on Sunday afternoon. The Titans are 3-point standard home favorites. The CJ Stroud of it all, the Will Anderson of it all, just kind of a tough scene for the Texans. BLG, you are a fan of pettiness. Are you aware that the Titans are wearing their Oilers throwbacks in this game against Houston?
I was not, but good for them. Although it is weird that they are allowed to wear those. So don't love that part of it.
I don't think it's weird at all. I think this is so dumb when Texans fans get mad about this. It's like the franchise moved. I understand that a new one was born, but like that is the franchise. You can hate that all you want. But
it's
weird, like,
though. It's a connection to a different city. It's strange.
Whatever. I appreciate the pettiness.
Do you think the Ravens should be able to wear Browns throwback jerseys?
No, because the city of Cleveland fought for that. Because the city of Cleveland fought for that. That's Houston's fault for not fighting for that. I mean, you know what I mean? Like fight for your things if it means that much to you. So, I mean, again, kudos to the Browns, you know, I guess ownership or whatever, or not ownership, the city for maintaining their city pride, which Houston did not do with the Oilers. But what are you thinking?
I think, you know, Ray Brohl has that team fighting. Will Levis, there's something to him. He has some, there's something there. There's something there to him. And I'm not going to trust in the Texans minus CJ Stroud.
Yeah. It's, I don't want to pick the Titans here. Like coming off of that huge upset win, I feel like this would be a perfect letdown spot for them if CJ Stroud was playing.
Right.
But with Davis Mills as the quarterback, I just think that Tennessee is going to give him too many problems. So I'll go with the Titans.
I worry that we're like trusting the Titans a little bit too much, but it's kind of hard to trust anything else in this game. I'm bummed because this might be the like end of Houston's playoff chances if they lose this game, depending on how everything in the AFC breaks this week. And I really do want to see CJ Stroud in the playoffs, but it just might not be in the cards this year. I think the responsible thing to do is to take the Titans. So I will do so as well. That takes us to the San Francisco 49ers, Stephen, who are visiting the Arizona Cardinals. The Niners are 12-point favorites on the road, although they've technically played some home games in that building before.
I'm going to take the 49ers, obviously, but this does kind of feel like one of those games where San Francisco has just had a rough schedule lately, but they're on this incredible run where they're absolutely dominating, and it's a division opponent, which tends to get overlooked. Like these games are always weird, it feels like, and it feels like, you know, San Francisco should just totally dominate the Cardinals, but I wouldn't be shocked if this game wound up being a little bit closer than you think it's going to be. But at the end of the day, when the 49ers are healthy, they're just so dominant. And whether you believe Brock Purdy's an MVP candidate or not, like everyone around him is healthy right now and just playing absolutely out of their mind. So I'll take the 49ers and the points, but I wouldn't be shocked if this game's a little bit closer than we think it's going to be.
Are you guys familiar with the, you know, the difference between like hurricane or tornado, like watch versus warning? Like watch is when like there hasn't necessarily been a hurricane or tornado spotted, but the conditions are ripe for one, so there could be. So like a watch would precede the warning. Like the warning means there's been one actually spotted. I don't think we're in warning territory for an upset. Like there's been no upset spotted.
This is really good. Well done.
Spotted. But there is a, this is, the conditions are right for a trap game here in the sense that 49ers, as Stephen mentioned, have been coming off some big games against the Seahawks and then the Eagles, Seahawks again. And then they get the Ravens on Christmas next week. So is it possible that they overlook the Cardinals, who upset, obviously, the Cowboys in their own building earlier this year? I think it's the conditions are there. The Cardinals are coming off a bye, too. Maybe they're well-rested and they have a lot of energy here. So I don't feel super confident in taking the Niners to cover. I do think they win because they're a superior team, obviously, and there isn't just a whole lot to hang your hat on with the Cardinals. But I do think it won't be a trap game for the 49ers, but it could be. The potential exists.
Just to clarify, you made it seem like the Cowboys lost to Arizona at AT&T State. That was in Arizona.
If I said that,
it was just weird the way you phrased it.
Building.
Okay, this building. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the Cardinals are playing.
I agree with you. I've been trying to manifest very selfishly the Cardinals to become like an NFC playoff picture disruptor over these final Spoiler. 4 weeks because they play San Francisco, obviously, in this game, and then they visit Philadelphia in 2 weeks. And I think we all agree, obviously, Kyler Murray, you know, has the potential to have like a, you know, crazy whatever game and do that, you know, against mm-hmm. anybody, just kind of because of who he is. But yeah, coming off the bye, I'm not going to do it myself, but I do think this has the, like, I think we could all look back and be like, oh, I should have taken the points, or I should, like, it was exactly. It was obvious in plain sight. But I'm definitely not that brave. The Niners are, they really do look unstoppable. And so mm-hmm. I'm not gonna test that this week, but I'm glad we at least had the conversation. Okay, the Washington Commanders, Stephen, are in LA, the house that Brandon Staley built, to visit the Rams. And the Rams are 6.5-point favorites coming off of one of the more impressive losses that any team in the NFL has had this season.
I really love the direction the Rams are going in right now, and they're fun to watch. And Matthew Stafford is just playing out of his mind. Like, the NFL is better when Matthew Stafford is 100% healthy, just throwing lasers all over the football field. And you know, the Commanders are coming off of a bye, but like, them coming off of a bye doesn't really do anything for me. Like, if the Commanders didn't play a regular season game the rest of the year, I wouldn't even notice. Like, that's just how forgettable they are for the most part. So I'm going to take the Rams here. The Rams still firmly in the playoff mix, like fighting for their lives and coming off that tough loss against the Ravens, where they put everything out on the field, like totally deserved to win that football game if it wasn't for an incredible play at the end in overtime. So I really like what the Rams are doing. I don't have any faith in Sam Howell and the Commanders, even coming off of a bye. I just don't think they've got anything really for what Matthew Stafford is doing right now. And their secondary has been torched by everybody this season. So I think this is a big game for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I think about, you know, A.J. Brown going off against the Commanders. I think about Tyreek Hill and the Dolphins just having their way with them the last time we saw them. And I just can't take the Rams to lose this one. I will say the Rams coming off that emotional game in overtime and the Commanders coming off the bye, maybe that makes me a little bit nervous that they're just a little bit, you know, tired or sluggish. But no, I'm going to take the Rams.
Kind of the opposite way, or opposite thing, of the Cardinals, where they have a chance to be a playoff spoiler. I don't think the Commanders have any interest in that. I think, like in Brandon's case, obviously rooting against the Niners and the Cowboys, I think the Commanders are just like easy wins. They're like, they're win record patterns for teams that are facing them. So mm-hmm. the Rams really benefit from that as they're in the playoff mix. The Niners and Cowboys both still have to play the Commanders before the regular season is over. So just, that's not a game you can count on if you're, you know, counting on the Commanders to be a spoiler. Again, they should have fired Ron Rivera. I hate to say that, but like, we should be seeing at the very least an Eric Bieniemy led team to learn about it. I mean, it was a mistake and they're just hanging on for no reason. They're simply, to your point, Stephen, just existing. My worst fear right now, outside of playing the Niners, is that the Cowboys are the 2 seed and the Rams are the 7 seed. I do not want to see the Rams in the playoffs. I think they could be the first 7 seed to win a playoff game in NFL history, but that's a few weeks away at this point. So we're all taking the Rams. Good for us. The Dallas Cowboys, this was our same game parlay game, of course, are visiting the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. I ran our Madden simulation behind you all while this was going on. If you can check that out on the Blog on the Boys YouTube channel. I don't know if you've seen this, Stephen, because it popped up while we've been recording, but Sean McDermott ruled out both Micah Hyde and AJ Epenesa for this game for Buffalo. So their beat up defense will have even less help on Sunday against maybe the hottest quarterback in the NFL, but the Bills are still 2-point home favorites.
Yeah, and I know the Bills are coming off the big win against the Chiefs, but I'm taking the Cowboys in this one, and I think the Cowboys win, like, by multiple scores. Wow. Like, I know the Bills are fighting for their playoff lives. I just think that Dak Prescott is playing so well right now, and I just don't think the Bills are going to have an answer for this Cowboys offense on defense. Rasul Douglas has stabilized the secondary a little bit, but you just mentioned Micah Hyde's going to be a huge loss. They're banged up on that side of the ball, and they just don't have the personnel that can match up with Jake Ferguson and CeeDee Lamb, and Brandon Cooks has been giving you a lot lately. Like, Dak Prescott is just playing on another level, and I expect him to do the same thing this week against the Bills.
Where he has not been as good is on the road, and I saw an interesting article about that on FTN Fantasy titled "Where the Dak Prescott MVP Case is Lacking." And if you look at like all the other MVP players from going back to 2013, and even like the top candidates from this year, he has the most stark like home road split out of all of those quarterbacks. So I think that's worth noting here. And in the same game parlay, I do have him throwing an interception. Hasn't done that again in the last four games. I think he's due, just even if it's not his fault. Could be one of those tipped interceptions that he said he's not going to throw. So I am going to take the Bills, who are surging, and not just for a wild card spot here, but with the Dolphins losing that game to the Titans, AFC East is back on the table for them, and I think they're pushing through. The Bills have had some bad luck this year. Everyone wants to say how the Eagles, you know, are worse, and fairly so, than their record indicates in terms of point differential and DVOA. Well, the Bills are on the other side of that coin, and I think they're due for some positive things to go in their way, and I think the Bills win this one here at home.
The thing that I'm most afraid of in this game from a Cowboys perspective is Josh Allen. Obviously, he can go supernova at any moment in time. But the thing that I'm most confident against is Sean McDermott, which is really strange. And yeah. I know that the Bills had the big win last week in Kansas City. Steven, we didn't talk about it, but Brandon and I were obviously getting set for Sunday Night Football, and we were chatting, and we were just destroying, like the world was, Sean McDermott for how he handled things. BLG pointed out at the end of the third quarter, and then on the positive side of the two-minute warning, and to act like this is like the first or the 10th time that Sean McDermott has done something stupid this season would be disingenuous. He had the end of the regulation situation against Philadelphia, Brandon, and then the icing of Jake Elliott for no reason and burned a timeout. Like, we can point out all these like miscues that he's made. I really kind of trust him to open the door for the Cowboys to barge through. It's worth mentioning, and this I do think lends towards our legs, Brandon, the weather forecast for this has shifted a little bit. 15 to 18 mile per hour winds projected right now, and an 80% chance of rain. I do think that certainly helps with the fumbles. So maybe not like a high scoring affair, but I'm kind of with you, Steven. I trust the Cowboys to be in control in this game. I think they're just the more complete team right now, but this is definitely the game on the Cowboys schedule that's remaining that I'm most afraid of. So I'll take Dallas to win, not in super comfortable fashion, but I certainly would rather you be right than me, which means Brandon, you're going to the frozen tundra, not the literal one, but this one yet again.
Fun fact about the icebox.
Winter is coming.
Burr! I'm in the icebox. Sunday Night Football, BLG, your guy Dougie P got embarrassed by Joe Flacco last week. And now he gets to turn around and face the OG Cleveland team in the Baltimore Ravens. It's going to be hilarious in my mind when Lamar Jackson just runs all over your boy and makes you hate everything. The Ravens are, again, in Duval. And they are, 3.5-point favorites right now? The Ravens have total and complete control in their hands for the one seed. I mean, last week was an amazing one for them, and they go beat Jacksonville, and they improve their odds all the more.
Ravens are out for revenge after losing to the Jags last year. Did the Ravens miss a field goal at the end, or did the Jags make a field goal? It came down to a field goal at the end, I believe, in a very entertaining, good game. I think the Ravens win this one. Unfortunately for my guy, Doug Peterson, I just think the Jags just like they've had opportunities to just really seize the AFC or South here and take control.
Or the AFC as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yes. Who did they lose to in primetime? Was that really bad loss with the Bengals? Yeah. At the time they lost to the Bengals,
got hurt. I mean, that was tough, but I mean,
sure. But I'm saying that game was an opportunity to like take control of the conference. And at home, Monday Night Football for the first time in years, and they haven't done that. So I can't give them the benefit of the doubt here. Lamar Jackson should be the MVP. Ravens win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Ravens here. Trevor just didn't look totally healthy, and I kind of felt like they should have given him a week off last week instead of trying to rush him back because they're scared about and maybe felt like they were still in the running for the number one seed. And I get that right now where a lot is being made about the AFC and like it's totally wide open still. And I totally agree with that. Like the Ravens schedule remaining is brutal. It's Jacksonville this week, 49ers, Dolphins, and then wrap things up with the Steelers. And we know those Ravens Steelers games are always just toss ups. Like they're always just ugly, hard fought games that aren't really fun to watch. So it's a brutal stretch, but I really like everything that Baltimore is doing right now. And I think this is an opportunity for them. Well, I think they could easily win this week. And, you know, I'm not as confident against the 49ers because of everything that we've already mentioned about that team. But I feel like the Ravens aren't getting enough credit for how they've turned things on offensively because their defense has been so good this season, and they should be recognized for that. And so I feel like everybody's like expecting Baltimore and Miami to kind of fumble things here at the end and give the Chiefs a window, whereas not enough people are talking about what if the Ravens just look dominant down the stretch here and easily take the number one seed in the AFC.
My only other take about this is we don't need the NFL to clump together like primetime games for teams like they have done with the Jaguars. Right? Like Brandon, you mentioned the Monday night game recently, and thankfully Trevor Lawrence is all right. But like when you do that and then somebody gets hurt, like we're stuck, you know what I mean? For like a month with, you know, one team, like spread it out, you know, like that happened with the Giants earlier this season. Like we don't enjoy that. So be smart about it. That's all I'm saying.
That's a good point. No one's ever going to be like, we need more of this team again. Like who's ever saying that? Seems good.
And I'm not saying take the Sunday night game away from Baltimore or Jacksonville, but you know what I mean? Like just, you know, we don't need like one team in our face a lot at one moment in time. That is not cool. But anyway, that takes us to the final game of the week, Monday Night Football. Steven, this was the game flexed into your spot. So congratulations on getting to watch it in a chill sense. Philadelphia Eagles are traveling all the way across the country to take on the Seattle Seahawks. This line dropped down. We had it originally as Philadelphia as 4-point favorites. They are now 3-point favorites on the road. Steven, your thoughts on the Battle of the Green Birds?
I haven't checked the injury status on Geno Smith, so I don't really know what his issue is right now or if he's going to be available, but I will take the Eagles to win this game and bounce back.
I like it regardless. I think the line did change because there's been more certainty. It seems like Gino was practicing. Pete Carroll has indicated he seems like he's going to be able to play. It seemed like that was the case anyway, because I mean, he was like a game time decision last week. It wasn't like, oh, he was definitely out, came down to the wire, and they have the extra day, obviously moving the game from Sunday to Monday. So yeah, but I mean, last time we saw Gino, he melted down at the end of the game against the Cowboys. And I think the Eagles, while they have struggled, certainly, I think they will bounce back. I don't think they are quite as bad as the team they've been the past 2 weeks. I think they win this game. At minus 4.5, I would take the Seahawks. I think it could be a close game. At minus 3, I'll take the Eagles to win and cover.
But you would take just the points, though, you're saying, obviously.
I would take the points if it was at 4.5. I think it could be like a field goal game, but I'm taking the Eagles to win.
I'm going to take the Eagles. I'm with you. It's not a big enough line to make me take the points, but this is a bit of a mea culpa moment for the Eagles. I mean, this is like, you're going to be one team after this. You're either going to be the team that responded and like, you know, picks up a little bit of steam, or you're going to be the team that lost and like all hell is raining down on you. So I hope it's the latter personally, for no particular reason. Wow. This was a long show, and it was Brandon Staley's fault. So, Steven, what other recommendations do you have for us? It doesn't have to be movie-related. It can be anything you want, and then we leave.
I watched Dumb Money this week.
Zap. I'm zapping Steven's recommendations.
Wow.
TGIF.